This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
Now, we're looking at a situation involving the funding of small business in Rhode Island, and it was detailed in a recent Providence Business News article by Patrick Anderson. Mark, give us a little background on the situation, please.
Well, we're talking about the Small Business Loan Fund, and it's a federally funded fund through the Rhode Island Economic Development Corporation that loans money out, as you might expect, to small businesses and businesses that have had a difficult time finding funding on the private market. Now, for us, the story goes back a few years. In the summer of 2010, we did a two-part series on this fund, and one of the interesting things we found out at that time is that while the fund was certainly loaning money out, it didn't know really its default rate. It didn't know how many jobs were being created. The EDC came back to us and said, we really, you know, even though the federal government, through this money, asks that the states report back on job growth and the other sorts of metrics, the EDC was not reporting, and much less they were not even collecting the data. And so it started a conversation, at least that we've had with the EDC, on them wanting to really do a better job on reporting what it is they do. And as of yet, they still don't really have very detailed and accurate reports. So let's fast forward to the end of 2011, and the federal government, sort of an outgrowth of kind of the stimulus idea, put together about $13 million worth of money that they wanted to get to small businesses in Rhode Island. And they were going to send it to three different groups. One was going to be the Small Business Loan Fund, which is a regular allocation from the federal government. The other was going to be BetaSpring, which is that private startup accelerator that's had such success. And the bulk of the money was going to go to the Slater Technology Fund. And it was going to be about $9 million for Slater, $2 million for BetaSpring, $2 million for the SBLF. And now we move a little bit further forward and we come to 38 Studios. And in the aftermath of 38 Studios, a lot of small businesses thought that this program, the SBLF, had been shut down by the EDC because there was such negative publicity over it. And that was not the case. Then the state decided to sue, those people and entities that were involved in the 38 Studios deal. And even more businesses said, we just are not interested in working with the state. And so now you've got to the point where, okay, so the SBLF was not able to lend out its money because nobody wanted to actually take out a loan through the state, even though it would be attractive and give them funding that they couldn't get otherwise, to the point where last year there was about $700,000 in the fund's kitty to loan out, and now there's about $3.5 million with money that had come in from the federal government, but also that's been paid back from other loans. The problem with this is that the federal government money, the $13 million, only is designed to come in stages, in three tranches, they're called. And in order to get the next tranche, you have to actually put to use 80% of the previous tranche of money. And so what was happening is the SBLF, by not lending out its money, was holding up the money going to BetaSpring and to the Slater Fund. To their credit, they advanced the money to Slater and BetaSpring, realizing that they didn't want to hold up the allocation, the second allocation of money, and so that they've been able to, use that money. And it looks like they'll probably do the same for the third, to get the third tranche. So it's likely that money will go through BetaSpring and Slater, but it seems difficult that to see whether the SBLF will actually be able to loan out its full allocation when it should be doing it and when so many small businesses in Rhode Island need the money.
Is there any sense of why there seems to be a disconnect between sending out the money and letting businesses know they can get it?
Well, in our talks and even the SBLF folks said and the EDC folks said, people, when they talked to small businesses, they really were honestly didn't realize the program was still active. And I think that you can look at a lot of factors for that. And I think one of them is the fact that the EDC as an entity has been in turmoil, ever since certainly ever since 38 Studios imploded. But even before that, there was a lot of there were issues in terms of what the governor's vision for it and what the board was. And you saw that, in fact, after 38 Studios, and a lot of board members resigned or asked to resign. And so I think that the organization is not functioning as well as it probably should be. So they probably aren't doing they haven't been doing the outreach that needed to do. There also have been cutbacks or continue to be cutbacks across the government. We know, you know, that the Department of Labor and Training, they haven't had enough people to deal with all the unemployment compensation requests, because they've had to lay those people off in order to, you know, deal with the budgetary shortfalls. The EDC is dealing with a lot of the same issues.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Let me just throw out an idea. Why not use a different agency to disperse these funds?
Well, I'm not sure. That's an interesting question, although you'd have to ask yourself which other agency in the state would do it. And they signed the agreement. You know, the agreement was made with the federal government for it all to come through the EDC. And I think at the time, the EDC, Keith Stokes was running it, and I think that they were more confident, and they didn't have any issues. They didn't think there were any issues with lending the money out, because in the past, they've had no trouble lending the money out. They've always been able to, you know, lend out everything that they have and then go back to the federal government and ask for more money. And I think that they never sort of foresaw it. So the agreement is with the EDC, and I'm not sure they can change that at this moment.
So an agency perhaps like the Department of Business Regulation is not a good idea?
Well, you could say maybe DLT or maybe, you know, the problem is, though, that we're talking about small businesses. And really, the EDC is a large parts of its functions are designed to help small business, you know, whether it's a loan fund or other sort of programs that they run. So this is the agency. It's really, this is what they should be doing. The question is whether or not they're able to reach out to the small business community and say, look, we have, we have money that's available. And they have said that recently they're getting more interest, but they haven't made any deals since the story was published earlier this week. And who knows how soon that'll happen.
The term small business covers several different types of businesses, mom and a pop that will really never expand, a company that may want to expand, or a company starting out small, a startup that is going to be huge down the road. Is there any sense of where these types of grants should go?
Well, I think that you saw in the way that the money was allocated that the federal government looked at exactly that question and said, look, BetaSpring is a startup accelerator. So these are companies that are just starting up, and some are going to, you know, fail, but others are going to succeed and spectacularly eventually. And so the idea is to help them get started. And the BetaSpring is part of a movement nationally where you're seeing a lot of these accelerators, that a lot of people in government but also in private industry are recognizing that creating more startups is the best way to create a stronger economy. And you just have to sort of roll the dice on a lot of them, and some will work and some won't. Slater is usually not quite in the startup mode. They're just past that. And they oftentimes bring in private capital. So they're they sort of fill that gap between where private capital and public money might come. And there, a lot of it is in technology, but also in bioscience. And so the SBLF is a little bit more, you could say prosaic companies, you know, that they're smaller, maybe established and not necessarily going to grow really large, but they're an important part of the mix of the economy in Rhode Island. So it's important for these companies to be vibrant and to be active, but they're not necessarily companies that you're going to see huge growth in.
Final quick question. There is thinking out there that government should stand aside and not pick economic winners and losers.
Well, there's a lot of talk about that, but the fact is that government picks winners and losers every day, and so the only question is, what can you afford to do, and how can you be smart about the bets you make? I mean, if you look at Slater, which is funded with government money, they've made a lot of bets on a lot of companies that are now really growing. Andera, for instance, was started by a Brown undergraduate, and you know they now are a national company in the financial services industry with substantial employees, and they continue to grow. And that was a Slater-funded company. That's a real success story, and that's the kind of thing that you can see if you target it and you're smart about what you're doing with your money.
We've been talking about funding of small businesses in Rhode Island with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio.